Hi, are you ready for more knowledge on shiatsu? I'm really excited to share with you the second part of my conversation with Peter. He has been teaching shiatsu for 20 years already, and you can really gain a lot from his practical and so clearly presented approach to body and mind therapy. In this part, Peter talks about archetypes in five elements rule that will help you to understand how you can keep energy moving through your body, other than shiatsu ways to move energy and prevent blockages in your body, how to deal with anger, when you should not have shiatsu therapy, and finally, he presents his view on labeling emotions. This is all extremely interesting. Peter says that every shiatsu treatment is unique depending on person's needs. I hope that this interview will make you want to try shiatsu and that it will meet your needs. Actually, I'm absolutely sure about that. Enjoy! Okay, so we come back to our conversation.
Thank you, yes.
About shiatsu, and we were talking about five elements rules in the first part, and maybe you want to add something to that?
Yes, what I'd like to do is take the opportunity to present a kind of archetype, slightly exaggerated, almost caricature of what someone with a very overactive element might look like and the sort of behaviours they might engage in. Because what I found in teaching this theory to people is this really engages people and helps them feel it for themselves. Because when you read the table of correspondences, it's like, oh, so spring, morning, rebirth, growth, okay, fascinating, but so what? Mm-hmm. And this brings it more into a kind of reality and a more tangible kind of thing. So I'll present one of them. Again, we'll come back to the wood element.
Of course.
We talked about that the most. So our character for the wood element, we call him the general. I say him, could be her, the general.
General.
The general from the army. Yeah. You see, it's already working. So the general likes routine. The general likes things to be on schedule. The general likes to get up at the same time in the morning and ideally have some physical exercise, because that will make the general's day feel a lot better. And during the physical exercise, the general will be making a plan for the day, strategy. So at this time I'm meeting so-and-so, and then we're doing that, and then I've got this and the other. And when he asks me about that, I'm going to say that, because I know that's what I want to say now. And even if he disagrees, I'm going to say no, but you can't because of this. And so on. And when the day runs nicely like that, according to the general's plan, the general is relaxed and smooth and happy. What happens, of course, sometimes, is the day doesn't quite go to plan, and there's something that is out of the blue, breaks the schedule, and then what happens? The movement of energy that the general likes so much is blocked, and the general gets angry and starts shouting and making a scene. So this is very, very interesting way of understanding some behaviors. And of course, I'm exaggerating and oversimplifying here, but it's amazing how often people resonate to this. And I can see you're nodding away there. So it's quite powerful. And it helps us understand many different things. The thing to remember is when we're talking about the general and his or her characteristics, it's all about movement. As long as things keep moving, a person with this sort of trait, characteristics or personality trait will be okay. If things get blocked or stagnant or stuck for any reason, already it's going to feel more difficult. It may not always lead to anger, but it's always going to feel a bit more difficult. And so then, you know, we need to find things to help keep things moving. Now, shiatsu is great. Mm-hmm. Like we said last time, right at the beginning, shiatsu moves ki. So this person's going to feel much better for having a shiatsu treatment because their ki will be flowing again, and they'll be like, what was I angry about? I don't even remember anymore. It doesn't matter. You know, move on to the next thing.
Because this person will be doing shiatsu regularly, there will be constant flow of energy through channels, so there will be no blockage, yes?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. You got it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's precisely what it is. But there's other things that person can do to help themselves. So if someone's listening, they recognize that in themselves. regular things, particularly from the Orient, like Tai Chi and Qigong and what we call Douyin, which is just like tapping yourself on the channels. This is all very, very helpful. Just even in the moment, like you feel, I'm getting tense, it's building up, is to just tap on yourself or something to just disperse that upward flowing. We spoke earlier about how the wood energy wants to come up. So we just want to like disperse it and let it sink back down and we'll feel better.
But you tap yourself on a specific
doesn't matter.
Points or you're
just generally. I mean, on the arms would be great in this context, because it would help redescend the flow of the energy back down, stop it coming up so violently and with anger.
But it might look really strange when you are around a few people and
stuck. But you can use pressure points as well.
What do you mean?
So they an acupuncturist puts needles in the points, but you can press them. We call it acupressure.
True.
So acupressure is like a very small subset of shiatsu. But some of the points can be very helpful in these contexts.
Which one, for example? For anger.
So this one that we're both, this famous one, He Gu, in Chinese, large intestine 4.
It's on the, so on it's the between palm. The, for people who cannot
Yes, between
see
the
head.
Thumb and the forefinger, where there's a line forms when you press those two together, at the end of that line, but not pressing into the loose skin, but pressing into the bone of the hand. That goes into the forefinger, into the index finger, pressing there. So this is well known. It's for relieving pain, but it's also good just for helping this helping you to let go of something. So in very traditional way, it's just letting go of pain. You open the gate and the pain goes away. But in this context, it could be also just letting go of that emotion of anger for in that moment. Just like it doesn't matter.
I will test it.
Have a go.
And report to you.
Let me know. Let me know if that works for you.
Okay.
And it may well. Who knows? But it could be. Again, come back to my point. Everybody's individual. So it could be a different point that's on a different channel. Therefore, corresponding to a different element, will have a different impact and the correct, the better impact. Let's say there's no right or wrong, but the better impact.
But this point, which you just explained, it's connected with liver.
No, it's connected to the large intestine channel.
Large intestine.
Which is in the metal element.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's this idea of letting go. It's this grief.
So that's why we are pressing it in the moment of anger.
Because grief and letting go, so the emotions of metal element, will help us to control wood and anger.
This is really so interesting. But when you have a client, let's say a client is coming to you and the person is saying that has, for example, anger issues, do you first talk to this person before? Because when I had shiatsu twice, there was no conversation. There was just the physical part, which was amazing, as I said, both times. And I really felt the difference afterwards, even for a few days, especially after the first one.
Yeah.
But there was no this kind of no conversation, no kind of analysis, I would say. So how usually you do that? Or
usually there's at least a short conversation. There should always be a short conversation just to check that it's going to be safe, because there are some contraindications to receiving shiatsu. The most known one is the first trimester of pregnancy. So it's very sensible if you've just discovered you're pregnant, it would be to then not have shiatsu at least for the first trimester, better even the first two trimesters. Then in the final trimester, shiatsu can be really, really fantastic at managing some of the more uncomfortable things that come with full-term pregnancy, so swollen ankles, back pain, full bladder, all those things. But so there should always be a conversation to check for contraindications. So that's the basic level. At a more advanced level, then there can be a conversation about symptoms, how long those symptoms have been experienced, what makes them worse, what makes them better, any particularly significant medical interventions in the past, trips to hospital, surgery, those sorts of things. So we get a full picture of that person's health as much as we can.
But do you ever report or explain to this person that this connection between five elements, or only
Absolutely.
They're interested?
No, try to. I mean, most people are interested. I mean, I think in general people will always be interested in their health. So then, and very often this can help them see connections in their symptoms that they wouldn't otherwise connect together. So it could be, for example, that when someone feels this anger, they also feel kind of a shortness of breath, like not asthma, but they kind of feel a bit tight in their chest and like it's difficult to catch a full deep breath. So we can, through the five elements and all their correspondences with the organs and everything else, we can say, well, that makes perfect sense because this, you know, this one should be controlling that one, but that one's gone crazy at the moment and it's this one hasn't got the strength to control it. So then it also starts to experience some symptoms.
Okay.
And there's a connection between the two.
And then let's say you had that talk and then you do shiatsu for that person a little bit different way.
Yes, every shiatsu treatment should be unique. And of course, when we teach it, we teach some basic sequences, but it's like building a house. You've got to start with the foundations, then you put up some scaffolding to support the structure as you're building it. But once the structure is complete, you take away all those support things. And it's similar with learning shiatsu. We start with the foundations, we put in these sequences to give a structure to help people develop the skills and the ability and the knowledge. But over once they reach the final level and become shiatsu therapists, you know, they're on their own and they can do all these things for themselves. They've developed all those skills. Then they can formulate their own treatment aims and strategies individually tailored to each individual, and not just each individual, but the individual on that day that they're in the clinic.
Great.
Yes.
So I think, you know, it's like really people should use it.
They really should.
Yeah.
They really should. It's like we know that we should look after our diet. We know that we should get good quality sleep. We know that we should
exercise.
Exercise from time to time, probably more than we get the chance to. Or would look, you know, we should also, in my opinion, get shiatsu on a regular basis.
Yeah. From this what you are saying, I would absolutely agree.
Thank you.
I would be one of your biggest fans now. So coming back a little bit to this five element story, can it be used on everyday basis by individual somehow to help himself or herself?
Yes. So this is the great thing about these archetypes. You felt how easy it was to recognize something. Say, oh gosh, that's me. I'm like that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Once you've got that knowledge, and with the other four, so you've got the picture of all five of them, and you see how sometimes, although I may generally be like this one, sometimes I'm like that one, or sometimes I feel strength from this one, then you can learn to balance that and be able to use one to help control the other, or one to strengthen the other, or one to be controlled by the other.
So you how it could be used?
Well, say for example, again in your case, your case, this case of the general.
Nobody knows. My case.
The general. You feel this tightness in your chest and you feel this anger coming up. So then it would be a great idea to do some simple breathing exercises on a regular basis to help with this sensation of strength in your chest so that you don't get this narrowing and constriction when you feel the emotion. And that in turn will help to control the emotion. It won't be as strong or as, let's say, difficult for you. But that's the other thing I wanted to say and I haven't had a chance yet.
Yeah, please.
We do tend to label emotions as good and bad. You know, generally we think of anger as a bad emotion and joy as a good emotion. We should let go of these labels. It doesn't help us. Anger's good sometimes. Just if we get stuck in one all the time, we're constantly angry, then it starts to impact our health, our frame of mind, our ability to think clearly about things or to feel good in our bodies. But occasional outbursts of anger is incredibly healthy.
Yeah, I think it clears you, that's the first thing. And secondly, it sometimes keeps you going, really, when you are angry, then you can
absolutely
do so much more.
Yeah, it's a positive thing. And similarly, joy, of course we think of it as very positive, but if you're stuck in joy all the time, that can really damage your health. It's not good. So, you know, we need balance. But balance doesn't mean things get stuck in one situation. It means there's movement between all the different possibilities and that there's equal movement. You know, it's not like, you know, balance is that sense. So this is where we need to talk about, we can maybe do a different podcast about yin and yang.
We'll be happy to do that. that's extremely interesting subject.
This is another subject where I think people have some knowledge already, but often they can't necessarily apply it in their day-to-day life. And I would love to be able to talk about that and help
so
with
we have
that.
We have next subject for podcast.
Excellent.
So,
clinically, these archetypes are really helpful because they just give us a generalized picture of what someone might be like.
Mm-hmm.
Then in a quite short conversation, or even through physical observation as well, sometimes we can say, well, this person's a bit like that character, or there's a touch of this and a touch of that, they're a mixture and there's a bit of this, you know. And then that helps us to start to formulate some ideas about treatment strategies and aims in the treatment. Mm-hmm. Of course, what the person tells us in terms of their actual symptoms on that day comes foremost. Mm-hmm. Again, we come back to my idea that theories and rules are great because they help us to understand, but we must never let them dictate what we're going to do. We must put the person back into the center and say, what does this individual require today? Mm-hmm. And then use the theories to help that individual, mm-hmm. not push the individual to match our theory.
Yeah,
that's the wrong way around. And that's one of the problems with traditional Western medicine, is this diagnosis tends to label people and then they get pushed into that channel of treatment, and only that channel of treatment. Yeah. And it may not be the right one for them.
Yeah, that's why I'm so discouraged, because this happened to me many times.
Yeah. So a great, 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 great teacher of Chinese medicine, Jeffrey Yuen, visited us in Poland just a year ago. And he said this one thing, he said many amazing things, but one thing he said was, we shouldn't treat disease, we should treat people. This is fundamental to what I think. Absolutely fundamental to how I...
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
So, but this knowledge which you just mentioned and ability to apply it in practice, I think that, you know, like regular individual won't be able to do it. They must study a bit, I think.
At least
the elements, at least the archetypes, yes?
Yes. It would help to come on some courses or to find some information.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my passion is to pass on this knowledge. Mm-hmm. I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher teaching Shiatsu now for a long time. Like, how long exactly? Well, a long time anyway.
You don't want to.
I don't even remember how long I've been teaching. Nearly 20 years teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So that's before, I mean, actually studying it myself, you know, nearly 25 years. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what we do here in Poland. We run the European Shiatsu School. We run a full program in education in Shiatsu, from foundation, like I said earlier, to building up through sequences, building your skills, your experience, your knowledge, in terms of practice, in terms of theory, and so on, to two separate levels. So there's a first qualification, Shiatsu body worker, which is kind of giving Shiatsu primarily for relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And those sorts of body workers would not necessarily ask so many questions before a treatment. They just go pretty much straight into the treatment. And then we take it further with what we call the foundations of Shiatsu therapy, where we teach all the methods of diagnosis from Oriental medicine. So the pulse diagnosis and the tongue diagnosis and diagnosis from touching the belly, or hara in Japanese, all these methods. And then we bring it all together into a concrete practice that people can feel confident going out into the world saying, yes, if someone comes to me with, say, depression or with some chronic disease, I feel qualified to be of some help and some assistance. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how long such school takes?
It's quite a lengthy process.
Can you
So the beginner's course, the foundation course, is a 6-day course, which we usually do residentially somewhere out in the countryside, because it's just nice to get away from this high pressure life and really immerse yourself in something different. That's followed by two subsequent meetings for the bodywork certificate course, and that's again 6 days each, because there's 12 channels, so we have to have 12 days so we can learn 12 channels. So 6 days separates it out nicely, and so that's the basic level qualification, and so it equips you with the basic techniques and some basic most of the techniques and some basic theory to give relaxing treatments and help with this prevention of disease. And then there's the therapy diploma, which is much longer. So this is where we teach all the diagnostic methods. And then we go into really developing clinical skills. So we actually run a free clinic, student clinic, once a month, If people want to find out more about that, they should follow us on our Facebook page, European Shiatsu School, on also Instagram, European Shiatsu School, where when we need bodies, volunteers to come for free shiatsu, we put out a post usually the week before. Mm-hmm. So do watch out for that. Okay. If you'd be interested in having a free treatment with our wonderful, wonderful samurais, we like to call them, our students.
All right.
Last time we did that, insomnia was a big issue, and we got so much great feedback with people saying, wow, I slept so well.
Yeah, insomnia is one Fantastic. Of the yeah. main issues those yeah. days. So.
But those two courses take 20, each one is 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much to do residentially, so we do that at weekends. So usually, mm-hmm. usually one weekend a month, mm-hmm. maybe every 5 weeks, depending on Christmas and Easter and different yeah. things. So, and
so altogether, the second level would be like a few months, yes?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Third and fourth modules, we call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And but a person who doesn't want to be shiatsu
uh-huh.
massagist mm-hmm. or such shiatsu massagist, you call
therapist.
It therapist.
Yes.
But just wants this knowledge for himself or herself. Uh-huh. This person should also join one of the courses. Yes.
They could. I mean, it would be really helpful mm-hmm. to join one of the courses. Absolutely. Even just the foundation course, because mm-hmm. we talk about the five elements in okay. the foundation course. But also, they could join one of our free webinars. So mm-hmm. we generally try to run a webinar once a month. It's completely free. We mm-hmm. we only ask that we get your email address.
Okay. And it's on online, yeah?
Yes. It's not dependent to Facebook or Instagram or anything mm-hmm. like that. I mean, we advertise it there, but it's in a bespoke one of these webinar services. Mm-hmm. If you register, we get your email address, we send you the link, and you can join us for free.
Oh, sounds
on
great.
That. Yes.
And to find out that they are taking place, you just need to sign for your newsletter? Or
yes, sign for our newsletter, yeah. follow us on Facebook and Instagram, yeah. and for sure you'll see what's going on in our activities. We also try to do something every week
mm-hmm.
where we talk about something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
That's usually on Facebook, but, mm-hmm. But that's something we'd like to do as well. And additionally, of course, I'm available for treatments.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask at the end. You know, how if somebody would want to take a treatment with you?
So the best thing initially is to make contact by email,
mm-hmm.
Because I can't, because I'm often in clinic, I'm not very good at answering my phone because it's switched to silent because I'm concentrating on the person with me. So it can be pretty frustrating trying to get hold of me by phone.
Mm-hmm.
So the best is to write to the email address, which is shiatsu.school
mm-hmm.
It's shiatsu@zen-shiatsu.pl.
Okay. But European Shiatsu School, it's the easiest thing to look at.
Facebook. Absolutely.
Example,
Facebook,
yeah?
Google, and so on. Sure.
Okay.
European Shiatsu School.
And then through that, it will be
yes.
easy to find
yes.
Your,
yes.
your page and,
exactly.
And sign for the treatment.
Yes.
You. But I saw there are also other therapists, yes, in the school?
Yes.
Except for you?
No, absolutely.
Yeah?
So there's the therapists who have qualified with
mm-hmm.
us. So
mm-hmm.
Exactly. So if you're listening and you're not in Warsaw,
mm-hmm.
It's not the centre of the world. We do have qualified therapists around the country. So if you visit our website, www.zen-shiatsu.pl, there's a page. It's not absolutely 100% complete at the moment. We're working on it at the moment to improve it. There is a page listing some qualified therapists and body workers listed
right.
separately. So hopefully you'll be able to find. If you can't find someone in your area, again, drop us a short email and we should be able to help you perhaps locate someone closer to where you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds fantastic. I really keep my fingers crossed now, you know, that people understand how important it is to get some shiatsu knowledge and shiatsu therapy. So,
yes.
So let's
yes.
hope that soon it will spread. It will have the right spread.
It'll spread the word.
At least in Poland. But I think in the Western Europe, it's quite...
It's more
spread,
developed.
Yeah, it's
yes.
Much,
yes.
Much more.
North
yeah.
America is quite highly
yeah.
developed. UK is quite well developed. And Western Europe also,
yeah.
yes.
My
yes.
first shiatsu was in Italy. I was
uh-huh.
on holiday.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go with somebody, but this person didn't go. And, you know, I was alone and I was looking for ways to do something. And then I saw in a hotel, you know, shiatsu massage, and
mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, I try. and this was 1.5 hours.
Wow.
But it was amazing, you know, like the next day, mm-hmm. even the next day I felt it. I felt it in my body, I felt it in my mind. It was one of the best things ever. So
good to hear.
And then of course I had an excellent experience with Emilia, so.
One of our samurai.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Exactly. So much talent, so much empathy, so much skill already in her hands and her knowledge.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
She's also my yoga teacher, so.
Yeah. All around, she's pretty cool.
Okay, so Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kasia.
I'm really grateful for this time. And I'm sure people will be listening to it and pass on the knowledge and coming back to you, because it was a really great, great experience.
Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. It's really been a huge pleasure. It's been a little less stressful than I thought. So thank you for making it in such a relaxed way. And yeah, please, everybody out there, stay in touch. Let us know how you're getting on. And stay well. And as it's this time of year, I wish everybody a really, really healthy, more than anything else, 2020.
Thank you.
Thanks.